God's going to give us a word tonight. Amen. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 24. Say glory when you're there. And let's go to verse number 10. I'm going to really get into some, I wouldn't call it heavy stuff tonight, but some serious stuff about growing up in the kingdom. It says in verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Here God says, if you faint whenever there's opposition, if you quit whenever there is attack, He says, you don't have any strength. Now we're going to find out before we're done tonight, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? And so understand, if you cannot access joy in the time of pressure, God says you're still immature. Amen. The true sign of a developed Christian is not whether or not they can lay hands on somebody and see results take place. That just means they have sought an anointing and God's granted it to them. The sign of somebody being mature in Christ is not that they have a church of 20,000 people or 2,000 people or 20 people. You follow me? It's not whether or not they've been preaching for so many years. The true signs, I'm going to say plural because I'm going to demonstrate to them tonight. The true signs of somebody that has grown up in the things of the kingdom, they have matured in Christ, is one, are they able to go through adversity without quitting? And two, are they able to go through personal attack without offense? Did you follow me? Because the two actual manifestations of immaturity in the body of Christ are quitting and being offended. And one of the symptoms of immaturity in the body of Christ is every time you get offended because you're trying to find that perfect pastor in that perfect church and you didn't find it till you got here. You're trying to find that pastor that agrees with you on every point, that church that does everything just how you think it ought to be, and you're looking for that church and you never find it. And because there are people out there that wear offense on their sleeve, as soon as somebody says something to them the wrong way, they don't shake their hand, they don't look at them right, or they preach something they don't agree with, they receive offense over it. And then they jump to another church. Become church hoppers. Amen? If you've been to 37 churches in the past 5 years, maybe it's you. Did you follow me? Because a true mature Christian finds out where did God place them. And they determine no devil in hell is going to move them out. They stay in the Word, and offense is going to come. You know where it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small? You can take from this verse, adversity is going to come. Pastor Chad, sooner or later, somebody's going to disappoint you. You follow me? Grace, sooner or later, some teacher's not going to be here on time or miss their meeting. Someday it'll probably happen.
Yeah, someday.
And you got to choose not to be offended by it. And you do very well at that, I might say. Amen. We get more offended about it than you do on your behalf. In other words, somebody's going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. There's going to be somebody rise up against you. And the sign of maturity within the kingdom of God is whether or not it moves you off of your position. Did you follow me? I mean, we used to play that game, King on the Hill. Remember King on the Hill? You'd find a big pile of dirt, big hill or whatever. You know, the construction zone. Somebody get on top and say, I'm king of the hill. And everybody would try to push him off. Well, in most cases, it was the biggest, strongest guy stayed king on the hill. And, you know, in many cases, that was the guy. You know, everybody else is 8. And there comes up the 14-year-old, stands on the hill, says, I'm king. Nobody can move him off. In the same fashion, the one that's most grown up in the kingdom is the one that can stand their ground and nobody can push them off of their assigned place. They can't knock you out of the church you're supposed to be at. They can't knock you out of the position of joy you're supposed to situate yourself within. And there's nothing the adversary or opposition or adversity can do to keep you from praising God. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't have days you don't feel like quitting. Amen? I was thinking earlier about it. I think I'll just quit pastoring. I'm going to become a pizza dancer with Zane. Can you get me a job? You're going to have days where you feel like quitting. Every Christian is going to have the enemy come in like a flood at different times. Amen? But the mature Christian is the one that raises up the standard. It says in Isaiah 59, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we raise up a standard, the power of His name. The mature one, the one that's developed himself, is the one that says, I shall not be moved. Now, see, 8 people right now think I'm preaching about you. This is everybody. The mature one is the one that says, I am not going to be shoved off of my position, my church, out of my family, my marriage, whatever it is God's put me in. I will not be moved out of it by some, you know, little imp. Even if they're speaking through some big guy or somebody with some authority or somebody that's my boss or whatever it might be, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved just because my pastor said something that hurt my feelings. It's going to happen. If I don't hurt your feelings, Rebecca's bound to. And I can say that because she's got to the place I can't hurt her feelings. Well, I probably could, but you know, I don't desire to, and you know, she does nothing that I'd hurt her feelings for. If the enemy can move you out of where God puts you, then you're still immature in the body of Christ. And we've still got too many people that whenever something rises up, they want to jump to another place. I mean, it's been, my goodness, 1996. We were doing Friday night services in Frankfurt, and it was my assigned night to preach. And I had this message. God gave me a message that day called the Vagabond Spirit. I'd never heard of it. Was that 96? Never heard of that thing before. Never heard anybody talk about it. But God dropped it in me and called it a vagabond spirit. What it was, a person that when they're in one place to get under pressure, they pull up all the roots, they jump to another place. And I came to church that night, and it's Friday night, outlaw service. I'm ready for a packed house. I got this word, and get ready to preach, and there's nobody there. Nobody. And the only person there was the one that had to come because they were running sound. And it was Rebecca. And for the next hour and a half, I preached straight into her spirit. I did not know she'd been all over the nation going city to city every time she got under pressure. I said, I'm preaching this message. I don't know who this is for, because if it's just going on tape or whatever, but God told me to preach this message. I did it, and she came up for the altar call. Is that right? I believe so. Only one there. Tears. You just spoke straight into my life. That's what I've been doing. And you know what happened? God called her on it. Now, Rebecca, how many times since then, in the last 15 years, have you desired to go to another town? Innumerable. She still wanted to go. But God spoke a word to her personally that night that said, if you move again, you're running from your assignment. And she knew she could never get back to the assignment. And God called her and says, you can't run anymore. And what happened is then when she felt like running, when the devil screamed at her, you need to go somewhere besides Frankfort, Kentucky, she would get out her Bible and get in the Word until God strengthened her by the Word. She'd pray in tongues until the power of God came on, or the presence of God came in, that she was settled in it and was able to go through and maintain her position. She wanted to run. She wanted to quit. But couldn't anymore. the one that's developing in Christianity is not always the one that's got the most gifts. It's the one the enemy can't push off the top of the hill. It's the one, and here's the two top reasons people get pushed off. They get pressured or they get offended. They can't take the pressure anymore. And I'm going to tell you something. You can go to a dead, dried up church all of your life and nobody ever offends you. Nothing major. You can go to a church of the blind leading the blind and the devil will never try to pressure you. He's happy with you not being in the anointing. But you come to a church where there's an anointing and where the gifts are manifesting. You go someplace where they're going, you know, towards the goal of fulfilling God's purpose. And every devil in hell will be released across your path to try to stop you. And that's why God is not going to take down the gates of the kingdom with babies. I'm talking to soldiers tonight. Or potential soldiers. He's not going to take down, he's not going to spoil the kingdom of darkness with a bunch of quitters. With a bunch of, you know, crumb-crutching, curtain-climbing four-year-olds in the body of Christ. Spiritually. It's going to be those that have come to the realization there is a call on their life. May not know every part of it, but they know there's something God wants done through their life. And where they're at, God's doing something big, and they're to be a part of it. Yeah. You may not know the specifics, but God has put something on the inside of you that says what's going on is bigger than just you, and you stay in position. And God said, that is the representation of somebody that's growing up spiritually. Somebody that can go through the licks. Somebody can take a punch. And not whine and cry because they took a hit. I'm convinced, both in this world system and in the kingdom of God system, those that win are those that become, how can I say it? They can adjust to disappointment. Those that win are those that can take a hit, take a disappointment, take somebody coming against them, and get a hold of the Word of God. Get into the Word and say, God, speak to me. I need a word now. And have God bring them a specific word that will be ignited within them that lets them go through the time of challenge. Those who can, when all their plans fell through, everything you intended to do, everything you thought you'd do, everything you thought would happen, all your plans of greatness and increase and everything, all of it, it fell flat through. And you just say, God, but I'm still your child. And I will not be defeated. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. And when disappointment hits, you adjust. You follow me? You adjust it. You know, when I've had the opportunity pretty much all of my life to work on equipment of some kind. Farm equipment, industrial equipment, machinery around the house. I've had wrenches in my hands my entire life. My wife will tell you a story she's heard about when I was 2 years old taking the stove apart every day. I've always had tools in my hands. And when something in equipment doesn't work quite right, you adjust it. You adjust it. If my motorcycle, if the clutch isn't shifting at the right place, it's not, you know, the clutch isn't engaging at the right place in the hand, you know, the hand grip, then I can take a couple wrenches and I can adjust the cable and get it right where I want it. I adjust it. It isn't how it needs to be. I adjust it. When your life is not producing the results you desired and your attitude is starting to move off of center, y'all follow me with this. All of a sudden you're feeling the pressure. All of a sudden you're feeling the disappointment. All of a sudden that wanting to quit is trying to rise up. You need an attitude adjustment. Now, when our kids were little or growing up and they started to demonstrate the wrong attitude, you know, the wrong image, we would say, I'm going to give you an attitude adjustment. You follow me? That usually meant the fly swatter, the paint stick, or whatever it was. I'm about to adjust something. Amen. I'm going to apply the board of education to the seat of understanding, the seat of knowledge, and there's going to be an adjustment. Well, God doesn't spank us. And He will never, I shouldn't say never, it is not His normal process to come on the scene and just adjust your attitude. Although we can do it. You can be in a bad mood and all of a sudden step into church and there's the presence of God and the love of God and just overtake you and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, God. You follow me? But that's not how He does it in a mature Christian. That's the mercy of God for somebody growing up. Here's how God adjusts the attitude of the mature Christian. Mature Christians got to the point they realized all my answers are in God. Everything I need is in the Word. You know, when I'm using the wrenches, I usually carry on my motorcycle or even in the tool bags, I carry what's called a crescent wrench. Everybody know what a crescent wrench is? An adjustable wrench. And it's one that you can twist the little thumb dial and it'll fit any size of nut, so one wrench fits everything. Well, God gave us an adjustable wrench to adjust our attitudes. And it's called this book. This book is our attitude adjuster. When things aren't going like you want it to go, here's what the immature Christian does. They, whether they will admit it or not, they get mad at God. God, you called me here. You put me in this position. You've taken everything from me. I've got all this stuff going on. I can't take it anymore. I refuse to pray. I refuse to get in the Word. You know what that's like? That's like on the playground when, you know, one kid doesn't get to play quarterback. He quits, takes his ball, and goes home. You're getting mad at Almighty Creator God. Maybe you haven't come to that realization, but if you won't pray, I'm not praying anymore. That's what you're telling yourself. I'm not getting the Word. It didn't work. You are saying, I've had it and I quit God, whether you quit church or not. And it's childishness in the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad you came tonight? I'm talking about growing up, and what I'm going to tell you tonight is going to help you break through in the future. I'm not doing that anymore. Give me my basketball. I'm going home. The mature Christian says, here's what they do. The mature Christian, one that's actually grown up or is in the process of growing up, they're going through World War III in their soul. The joy, they're just trying to keep breathing. The oppression can be so heavy. One to quit, the mature Christian sits down and he says, God, I know this ain't you. That's what they say in the South. In the North they say, God, I know this is not you. Maybe that's in India they say it like that. Anyway, in the South, they say, this ain't you. I know this is not your doing. Father God, I know this is not your fault. And right now, I need you like I've never needed you before. I've been through hell, but right now, Father, I need you to speak to me. I need a word. I need an impartation. Show me where in this book to go. And God, if you don't show me, I'm going to open and expect angels to turn the page. You're going to speak to me right now. And you sit there and you say, God, and I need you right now to breathe something into me supernatural. I need help from your word. That's what the mature Christian does. Because everybody has the day of adversity. But only the mature go through it in the right fashion. And this is the only fashion that will take you through it properly. I'm telling you. For the Christians growing up in the calling, this is the only thing that will take you through. Under the assault, you sit down and you say, God, speak to me. And you start reading. I just turned to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to read there like I was doing this. And verse 1 says, "And ye therefore follow, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." There's my answer, God. You told me to walk in love. I'm going to continue walking in love, Lord God, until this assault lifts. I know if I obey you, I'm going to see the, you follow me. And you say, "God, I will follow this word and to the point I drop dead if necessary. But I know this word has strengthened me to see me through to victory." And you refuse to turn to anything but the word. Because here's what the world does. I'm telling by the Holy Ghost right now because God's filling my mouth. I have no notes on any of this. Here's what the world system does and what those that are weak in Christianity do. Those that are not grown up do. They say, "I've had it. I can't take any more. I need the bottle. I need the pills. I need, you know, the credit card. I need the key to the refrigerator, whatever it is. I'm going to have me a flesh out right now. Because I just can't take any more of this pressure. And I'm going to use all the old escape mechanisms I've used all my life. And whatever it was that they did before to try to get some relief from pressure. Internet porn, whatever it might be. They're going to run to that source versus run to the Word. And for the mature Christian, this is the only answer. And every answer is in this. This book has every answer you will ever need. But you have to be adult enough and hey, I don't care if you're 8 years old. You can be adult enough in the spirit to do this. And you can be 80 years old and be immature enough not to do it. You got to get before God and usually by yourself and say, "God, feed me right now." And if He tells you stuff you've done wrong, say, "God, I repent for that. Help me not to do it again. But help me." And I've been in this situation, in situations of this sort, time and time again. And you know what? The Word always has the answer. I'm not telling you something I haven't practiced. I'm telling you, you don't go anywhere in the anointing unless you've been assaulted. And I would be of the opinion I've probably been assaulted more than anybody in here. Because it always hits the head first. If smite the shepherd and the sheep shall scatter. That's why you got to find a man or woman of God as your pastor that is able to take hits without always being whining and crying about it. And I'm not whining and crying now. I got joy right now. I've got victory right now. But I know the enemy's trying to attack people and steal your joy. If your strength, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You follow me? We can't faint. Look over at Galatians chapter 5. Repeat after me. I will not faint. Regardless of the adversity. Because I am strong in the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, have you got it? Look at verse 22. First of all, back up to verse 18. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." We're to be Spirit-led, right? "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings," and I could even throw in, you know, eating everything in the refrigerator and spending up all the money on a credit card. Amen. Works of the flesh. In other words, they're escape mechanisms of the flesh. But he says, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Singular, it's love. The fruit of God, the fruit of your born-again divine nature is love. When you were saved, God came inside of you and by the power of incorruptible seed birthed in you the very love of God. God is agape. He is love. And when you were born again, He implanted within you the very nature of love. But you know, unless you're really a, how can I say it, an expert on trees and plants, if we go out in the spring and you go out to the orchard, you probably can't tell which tree is which. I mean, unless you just really know trees. You know, peach trees are fairly easy to tell. But you start getting to pears and apples and all these different types of things, you can't tell which is which. You can't tell which fruit tree is which until the fall, or really in the summer, as the fruit begins to develop. Amen? And of course, in the summer, they all taste alike. Green and horrible, right? You ever eat the green apples and the green pears and all that? The point is in every tree, every fruit tree is already the program of that fruit. But it takes time over the year for the tree to bring in the nutrients and pass through the program within that tree to start to produce outward fruit visible on its branches. You, when you were born again, were made a tree of life, a tree of God, right? Trees of righteousness. And inside of you is the very nature of love. But to most Christians, you can't tell it. If I brought in here, chances are, if I brought in 10 Christians and 10 heathen, and they were instructed not to tell, say anything about God, you follow me, or church, and you watch the 20 people all day, there's a good chance you probably wouldn't know which were the Christians and which weren't. Of average Christians. The only thing that lets you tell a Christian, a genuine Christian, is the fruit they manifest. Over time. You follow me? Anybody can put on an act for a short time. But a true Christian demonstrates their maturity just like a tree. Do you know you plant a fruit tree, it's usually at least 3 years before it produces any fruit? You follow me? How many? Up to 7 years before it produces fruit. Well, a Christian, you get born again, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit manifested yet. The fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. You don't manifest that supernaturally overnight. It's a process of development. Fruit takes time to feed yourself with the right nutrients. You follow me? To root yourself by the right rivers of living water, to bring in the right nutrients of the Word of God, to produce outward fruit, and it takes time to develop. But fruit manifestation is the outward evidence to the world that you're a Christian. I mean, there's slickers all over in the body of Christ. In many wars, I mean going through history, one common strategy in warfare is for if you're battling an enemy, print up a bunch of their money as counterfeit and flood their the land with it. You print up a bunch of counterfeit money and use it for your uses. If you can counterfeit their currency, it all becomes pretty much questionable and worthless. And people have used this as a strategy in warfare. The enemy knows if he wants to bring down the church, if he wants to bring down the church and he's using every weapon he's got, one of his most efficient weapons is to counterfeit Christians. If I can just take my people and have them put on an act like they're a Christian, and I sow these wolves, Bible calls them wolves, into the body of Christ, they can devour the sheep from within. Amen. Paul said, I know. There was a G. I know when I go, grievous wolves will be sent and not sparing the flock. One of the greatest attacks against the body of Christ is people sent in that aren't Christians, but want to act like they are. But the way you tell the difference is over time, what is their fruit? What is it when they're under pressure, when they're under adversity? What is it manifest in their life? What are they running to? Amen? Are they running to the Word or are they running to the world? Under pressure, do they act more like the world than they do the Word? The enemy's going to bring in wolves to try to take people out. Try to deceive, to offend, just to offend. And we have to be developed spiritually enough that no wolf even sent in is going to take us out. That means the devil won. And I'll let you got Christians that still will go through, you know, pressure times, and they'll go off on people. Any one of us under enough pressure is apt to go off on somebody or respond in the wrong fashion or not be appreciative enough of something. And we have to grow up to the point that we do not be offended over it. No devil in hell can take us out. Are you guys following me on this tonight? We've got way too much church jumping in the body of Christ. Now listen, I'm into church jumping if it's a promoted fashion. Not that they gave you a better position, but you're getting better word. You follow me? You guys have heard me long enough to know I believe that really 90% of churches ought to just shut the doors. I really do. At least 90% ought to shut the doors. Because all they'll do is their, what do you call it, placebos. They just have a building with a steeple on top. People come in and meet, and there's no anointing. There's no truth being taught as far as that will lead people into the victory of the Word. And it's time to shut those doors so people will know, hey, there is a real church I can go to. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You follow me? He didn't say, hey, there's 47 of us over here. In the same fashion, I don't believe he meant for there to be 47 church buildings, you know, on the same block, so everybody could have their own, you know, it's like buffet. It's never meant to be buffet Christianity. It's to be being taught how to walk in the anointing. Not just you find a bunch of people look alike and act the same and, you know, their hours suit your schedule. That Pastor Jack, he preaches too long. I can't go there. Aren't you serious about growing up in Christ? It's not about the length of the service. It's not about the color of the carpet. It's about, am I growing up to the place that I don't faint in the day of adversity? Am I getting word in me and learning how to use the word? Then when the enemy comes in against me, I've got available the full armor of God and the sword of the Spirit. And I can knock him off of his high place and take what he's been holding back from me. I want you to get the revelation tonight. If you get nothing else tonight, I want you to get the revelation that when you're under assault, find a place and get the Word. Now, if you're not a person that reads the Bible, or you're one of those that's confessed, you know, erroneously for so long, I just read the Bible, I don't get anything, then you better get you some CDs. Download you an MP3, whatever. God will speak to you in whatever fashion you can receive. But then never say, I just don't get anything out of the Word. That's just, again, I'm trying to not offend anybody. If you're saying, I don't get anything out of the Word, you're using your authority not to get anything out of the Word. Yeah. Don't do that. See, I read and comprehend the fullness of the Word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit reveals to me every secret embedded within it. Whether you see it or not, speak it. Use your authority for revelation versus against you. But the mature Christian, you've got to get this revelation, the mature Christian always runs when they're under pressure to the Word. Run to the Word. Don't run to the world. Don't run to all your sisters. You follow me? All your, you know, gossip buddies. Don't run to all your buddies. Don't run to all your, you know, guys. Don't be running, you know, to the office of the golf course talking about how bad it is. Get in the Word. And you'll find it. If you get in the Word, you'll find out it turns it from not being so bad. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's just the enemy trying to create an image that it's bad. It isn't bad. How could it be bad for us when we're going to heaven someday, going to walk on streets of gold? These are just temporary. Results of opposing forces. Isn't that bad? I like the way Paul put it. This is whenever I start to get in a pity party. You guys ever try to get in a pity party? I don't get to be in them very long. About 30 seconds maybe is, you know, the max I can go now. And I'll say, oh God. And this verse always comes back to me. It's like God imprinted it within me. Where Paul said, you've not yet suffered the shedding of blood. Well, I did too. I cut myself on the drill press the other day. It took 2 Band-Aids. That's not what he's talking about. Here's a man that was stoned, left for dead, beaten with rods 3 times. You follow me? I mean, pursued unto the death everywhere he went. Ended up losing his head over it. And he says, all those are whining and crying. You've not yet shed any blood over this. What are you fussing about? Yeah, but you don't understand. They repossessed my cell phone. Well, that means you'll have more time than the Word without having it ringing and disturbing you in your prayer times. Just turn it around. You follow me? Well, I've been sick for 3 weeks. Well, just choose tomorrow not to be sick. Just declare, well, I'm healed now. Tomorrow I'll be fully recovered. That's what the Word says, right? And refuse to quit. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And so what's got to happen is we got to be those that, like fruit, start to develop maturity. You know, the fruit trees, and I'm a fruit person too. Not fruity, I just like fruit. As I can remember back on the farm, we'd watch those pears all year develop. We'd be counting down the days till the pears were ripe because we loved the ripe pears. We had an orchard and every tree, and it was a pear tree. I don't remember how many we had. It wasn't a whole lot. I think maybe 4 or 5 trees, but they would put forth some pears. All the pears we could eat as a whole family all year. Preserves, jam, we'd make pear syrup, we'd make pear everything. We'd wrap pears up, we'd have them all year. And we'd look forward to those ripe pears coming in. You follow me? We would look at the tree and know as time was progressing, we would see the pears developing, we would know that fruit is growing. And we've got to be those as trees of righteousness that keep guard over our fruit, and make sure it keeps on developing. Yeah. You're not allowed. You never saw a tree, well, you may have, but in most cases you don't under the right conditions. We're starting off growing the apples and they're getting bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden they start to shrink. They're going, all of a sudden, the apple is shrank back up the size of a cherry. What happened? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in the natural. It shouldn't happen in the spirit. It shouldn't happen that you're developing, you know, all the 9 gifts or the fruit of the spirit, and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you don't manifest patience anymore. You don't have any peace anymore. If you get to that point that you no longer have peace and patience, it means you quit feeding yourself what was necessary to develop yourself. Because the fruit you manifest is an outward witness to the fuel you're taking in and to whether or not you're submitted to God to develop you. We've got to be those that challenges. I hope I'm not just preaching to myself tonight. We've got to be those that challenges when they come. We don't take it as a sign of, oh no, not again. We got to become those that say, I'm going to grow out of this thing. Every time the enemy slaps me, I will get stronger out of it. He won't slap me like this again. When my kids were little, I had the revelation, no plague nor calamity comes near my dwelling. Sickness was not allowed in my house. I knew that. And yet here would come, you know, one of the kids with an ear infection or a fever or something like that or a cold. And it would make me so mad. Devil, how dare you attack my children? I have a covenant with God. You have no right to touch my kids. And I'd go lay on the couch and many times pray through the night. Not that the child would be healed, but say, devil, I'm praying for everybody I know for this. Because you attack my household, I'm coming after you. And I'd pray for other people, other people's kids. I'd pray for everything. I'd pray for China. You're probably getting blessed that whole time. Pray for all the kids in China. Because I was determined, devil, you're not going to slap my household, not slap my life, and you not pay a price for it. And we got to be those that are developed enough spiritually. When the enemy comes against you, you got to say, devil, you may be trying to take me out, but you're going to pay a price. Because I'm going to speak the word and I'm going to knock you up the side of the head with the word of God. And I'm coming out of this by faith. The word says, the just shall live by faith. You think it's going to go unchallenged? Well, it's just been so long. Nothing's going right. I've tried forever and ever. Then you got another day to try again. That just means you're one step closer. Where was it the other day I was having to stand in a line? Lines are from hell. If you end up dying and you're in a line thinking St. Peter's the end of the gate, that's the wrong line. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. It's wrong line. They're just suckering you in. And I was in a line. And you got to realize that every time you're in the line, like Sam's, it seemed like maybe it was Sam's in this long line. It's amazing. It's Christmas season. They got 15 registers at Sam's Club. And you go in the middle of Christmas season after work hours, and they got 3 cash registers open. Somebody has not planned well. Amen. Or somebody called in sick, you know, a bunch of people. And in this long line, you know what? Every time somebody went through the line, I didn't say, oh, they got to go through. I'm thinking, nope, I'm taking another step closer. You got to recognize, just because you haven't manifested getting to the cash register yet, doesn't mean you won't be to it in the next few minutes. Choose to win. I hate quitters. I don't hate quitters. I hate quitting. I was thinking about this. Patty's got me playing this Words for Friends game on the computer. Oh, God. I told her I didn't want to play it, and then she started me on it, and now it's like it becomes my relaxation to play Words with Friends with 8 people at a time. And I was playing my niece the other day, and I don't know, somehow I jumped up to like a 200 or 300 point lead. And the game's half over. I'm way up. I'm getting some words, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm going to score a new high, new wreck, you know. And all of a sudden it says, your niece has resigned. Of course, she quit. She just quit in the middle of the game. She's behind 200 points, so she just quit. I wasn't ready to quit. I'm winning. You follow me? And next thing I know, I got something comes up and says, your niece has challenged you again to a new game. She knew she wasn't going to win that one. So she just quit that game and started a new one. You can't do that. So I got a plan. She plays me all the time now. She, you know, almost every few days we start a new game. And the first time she gets her number one word, like she plays all seven the first time and scores 80 points, I'm going to just hit the resign button. Just quit right there. First play, just quit. Because she usually challenges me, and so she gets the first play, and it just, I'm done. Payback. The thing is, don't quit. I don't care if you're behind 300 points. You serve a God that the game's not over till you win. You know, Words with Friends has 104 tiles in it. 9 A's, 3 B's, 2 C's, never mind, 5 S's, 1 J. 104 tiles. When those tiles are gone, it's over. The game's over. God doesn't quit like that. Just draw, hey, looks like it's over, draw some more tiles. You can't spell what you want with seven tiles. I got a whole book. Just get all the letters out of that book you want. Amen. Book's full of letters. Keep drawing till you win. Just don't quit. Well, I haven't quit. No, you did not quit coming to church, but you quit going to the Word. I'm talking generically. It's not addressing anybody here. You follow me? You quit running to the Word when you got under pressure, and you started running to the world system. You started running to the remote control. Maybe HBO's got something I can use tonight to help me relax. There's no anointing on HBO. Amen? You ought to get a hint at HBO. It sounds like hobo. All you do is watch HBO, you're going to be a bum in the kingdom. You'd be borrowing everybody else's anointing. We got to be those that say, I'm getting my answer from God. He wants to be your first and your last. He wants to be everything you run to. Amen? I mean, the Word of God says we're the head and not the tail. It works both directions. He wants to be our head and not us turn to Him at the tail end. He says, you shall worship, the first commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. Worship the Lord alone. Him alone shall you serve. And usually He's just the last resort. Amen. You know, if I'm going on a vacation, I don't want to go to the last resort. That'd be the one-star resort, right? I want the five-star resort. I want the first resort. I want the best resort if I'm gonna, you know, if I was had my choice. I want to go someplace nice. The last resort would be the bottom end. God don't want to be on the bottom of our list. He wants to raise up mature Christians. The pressure's gonna come, adversity is gonna come. He wants to be the first thing we go to, the first one we go to, His Word. He wants to be the one that we just sit and say, God, I need you to speak to me, strengthen me right now, help me right now. And He will do it every single time. Now, sometimes you might have to say, I'm telling you, here's how it works. I'm telling you by personal experience. You might say, God, I'm not coming off of this chair till you speak to me. I'm not coming out of this closet until you strengthen me. I need you right now. I'm reminded as I'm talking about that movie, Faith Like Potatoes. You guys seen that movie, Faith Like Potatoes? And, you know, a great movie about the guy that grows the potatoes in Australia, and there was no plants ever grew. They were in a drought. Nothing ever grew above the ground. Looked like all the seed was dead. Yet God said, you know, go dig up the potatoes at harvest time. It's dead. They took a whole crew out there, tractor and wagons, started digging. All potatoes were underground. There was no plant on top. Total supernatural harvest. Raise this woman from the dead. What I'm reminded of is after all these victories, I believe it was his nephew fell off the tractor he was driving and got run over and killed. And the family's crushed. I mean, here's all these miracles, and yet they lose their little, you know, the young boy. And so the preacher who had planted the potatoes is seeking God. God, I need you to do something right now in my brother's life. I believe it's his brother. I need you to do something for me and my brother. We need you right now. And his brother, if I remember right, had a visitation of God, either in vision or whatever. And God said, he's with me. He's fine. He's doing great. Don't fear or worry any further. And the brother came and they met and says, I'm okay. God showed me it's okay. How devastating, how much more devastating of an event could you ever have in your life than to lose your child? I mean, I don't know if any of you guys ever lost a child. My heart goes out to you. But you know, my heart is thankful that I haven't. I'm thankful I have my children. I'm so thankful my children have grown up and they survived. Survived, you know, situations that could have took them out. But God protected them. I'm thankful for that. But if God can take someone who lost their young boy and bring them a visitation to say it's okay, surely that same God can come into the situations you're in and steal your soul in the time of adversity and see you through it. Because the truth is, it's always glorious on the other side. It's just a lie. It's all just a facade. It's not that bad. Your kids are still fine. Amen? You're still eating. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Just go to God and let God breathe that word into you. Otherwise, we're still babes. Otherwise, we have no ability under the pressure of the enemy to keep manifesting fruit. How do you know when the fruit's not there? Is one under the pressure? You're going, I don't like this. It's just not fair. Here's another thing you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to play the ostrich. You're not allowed to bury your head in the sand just because you don't like what you're seeing around you. Well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to stay right here and because I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm experiencing. I'm quit. You're not allowed to do that. Winners adjust. And victors attack. Did you hear me? Winners adjust and victors attack. That's straight from the throne right there. We have got to be those that adjust to our situations and attack it with an aggressive attitude. I refuse to lose. You know, in the words with friends, if I'm playing somebody and I'm winning by 150 points, I'm just playing words. I'm not even studying the board. I'm just putting the word down. It looks good. You know, it's pretty good. I score. You know, I've already got the game won. But you start getting close to me, giving 30 or 40 points, I'm making sure I'm playing the best strategy I can. Why? I don't like to lose. I only like losing my wife. I especially don't like to lose to my wife. We played a game last night. It was a draw. I almost kicked her out of the house. What do you mean you took my spot? I'm going to put effort in an area it looks like I might lose. Are you guys following me on this? I'm not trying to make it sound shallow, but I especially don't want to lose to the devil. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, you let the devil push you every which way. It's amazing you made it up here. I had all the stuff I wanted you to do, and every time I gave you something to do, he just knocked you right out of it. You couldn't be consistent in church. You couldn't be consistent in your assignments at church. You couldn't be consistent in the Word and prayer. Just every time the devil rose up against you, you just said, I'm not playing no more. Did y'all ever hear that I'm not playing anymore? You know, again, as a kid, you're playing the game with all the friends, and they're playing tag, and you're the slowest runner, and so they keep tagging you. Finally, get messed up. I'm not playing no more. I'm always it. The devil's still tagging the slowest people. And he'll tag you up the side of the head, left and right. I'm telling you what. But you're not allowed to say, I don't play anymore. There is no option except to play. There's no option except to go on with the kingdom. God didn't make it. He didn't make it your decision whether or not you'd be a soldier or not. He said, you will fight. And God understands battle fatigue. That's why the enemy can't maintain an attack. He'll give you breathers in between, but you got to make sure you get fueled up on the breathers. But there will be another attack come. Just don't look forward to the attacks. Look forward to the victories. 2 Corinthians. I feel like we need to go here. Got a few minutes left. Let's finish with this. And again, here we've been here many times. But you've been under attack many times. And this word's not going to change. Verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He'll shine into your heart. He wants to shine into your heart. Do you guys believe that God will actually speak into you? He will actually come and talk with you. You may not feel any major presence, but He's going to start talking. Can you receive? Amen. He shine into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God says inside you is a treasure. Chapter 4. Picky. Amen. And you had the nerve to be the spokesman. I'm telling what. Let's try it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go straight to number 7. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want you to let this sink in for a second. God says He's put you in a vessel of earth, a clay pot, right? So that when there's a time that you need something to take place as an earthen vessel, you're going to know it's going to require God to do it, and you're not going to be able to. You are of yourself a limited resource being. And the opposition against you will always be above your own personal resources. It'll be above you in level of financial need, above you in a level of healing needs and joy and strength. The enemy's going to come against you in a fashion you're going to need God. You are going to need God, especially as a revivalist. You will need this word. And if you turn from this word and try to do it on your own, you're going to find out just how much of an earthen vessel you are. Amen. You'll go from being an earthen vessel to a crackpot. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side. That means you're surrounded. That means you have no place else to go. That means every which way you look, you are surrounded. Troubles every which direction. Have you ever felt like you had trouble every direction? I'm talking about in the last 10 minutes. You look one side and you got financial trouble over here. You look over here, you got family trouble over here. You know, your family thinks you're crazy. You look ahead and there's symptoms in your physical, but I look behind and there's, it looks like the church could collapse. I mean, every trouble all around. And the devil wants you to focus on the trouble. He wants you looking through eyes of the world, eyes of the natural, and seeing trouble. But yet Paul didn't stop with the trouble. He says, yet not distressed. In other words, there's trouble all around, but I am free of stress. See, normally we read this passage, we just look at the problem part of it. Let's read the passage and I'll come back to it. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And normally, here's how we read this. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the devil always reminds you of. You're surrounded, you're beat up, you're confused, and you're always dying to self. That's what the enemy wants to emphasize when you're under the flood, under the assault. Did I lose you guys with that? But that's only half the passage. Every time a problem is listed, Paul gives a response. What God wants you to see is the other half of this equation. We're not distressed. We're not in despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. And the life of Jesus is being manifest in our body. But understand, the two work together. I shouldn't say work together. The two cohabit. The two cohabit. In other words, he says there's trouble on every side, but we're not distressed. We always want all the trouble to go away before we're not distressed. You follow me? But he says, if you're going to be mature, if you're going to grow up, if you're going to develop spiritually, you got to be able to be in the midst of the trouble, yet not be stressed. You got to be able to be in the middle of the perplexion or the confusion, but not in despair. Not ready to give up, not hopeless, not without a vision. You got to be able to be persecuted or assaulted, slandered, people offending you, wolves coming in, trying to, get you off base. Yet even in the midst of the persecution, you know God's not forsaken you. And you know your pastor loves you. Amen. You may feel like you're cast down, but you're not destroyed. In other words, it looks like you've lost everything. I mean, you've been deserted, you've been kicked, they've repossessed everything you've got, bankruptcy's hit, but Paul still says, but you're not destroyed. Lost everything, but not destroyed. You got to turn it around. You've got to turn it around. And the devil always wants to tell you, hey, you're just dying for Jesus, you're dying for Christ, always bearing about in the body, the death of Jesus. And Paul says, you don't understand. As that's going on, if you will turn to God, the life of Christ will manifest and resurrect within you. But it's by responding, getting that chair, getting in that closet and saying, God, help me now. It's okay to cry and say, God, I need help. It's okay to cry to God and say, God, I feel like I'm losing it. I need a word now. It's okay. What's not okay is to run around and tell everybody, I just can't take it anymore. And start fussing about how everybody else has let you down. We've got to run to God with these situations. And if we can't, if you can't, oh, help me, Lord. If under the greatest pressures you're under, if you can't run to God, and say, God, help me, and get open that word. Put on your tape or CD, MP3 player, and say, God, I need you to speak to me right now. Then you're demonstrating genuine spiritual immaturity. Because you're violating the first commandment. You're not putting God first. You're putting your intellect and plans ahead of God coming through on your behalf. He wants to be your rescuer. I've mentioned this before. I may not always reflect it to her, but I love being my wife's hero. Of course, sometimes she probably thinks I'm the villain. But, you know, it's frustrating when you're sitting there and you finally got on the couch and your wife says, there's a bug in here. I need you to kill the bug. I'm thinking, kill the bug yourself. But I know every time she kills a bug, it costs me $4.95 because that's how much a can of bug spray costs. And she puts the whole can on one bug. Puts a ring. Here's how she does. She starts back here, starts a ring. That's her killing a bug. And then hits it with a shoe. So she calls me in off the couch, playing words with friends. Can you kill the bug? And you know what? I'm glad to come in and say, I'll make fun of her, harass her about it. You're afraid of a bug? Kill the bug. Just kill it. So I'll kill the bug. Amen. And I really think I ought to have them bronzed as like trophies. Put them on the mantle. Silverfish. 3 silverfish in a row. I'm like 5 silverfish. I'm like a silverfish ace. You know what? I almost want to say, here it is. I got it. Give me a hug. I'm your hero. I like being a hero. I like being the one who can change the light bulbs. You follow me? I like being the one who can help her out those times. I'm not going to let her know it, so nobody give her a copy of this message. I know she's not hearing me right now because she's so good at tuning me out. She's not hearing anything I'm saying right now. So don't tell her. But I like being a hero. God wants to be your hero. He wants to be the one that stomps the bugs in your life. Changes the light bulb over your head. Amen. Where you're in confusion, he wants to pop the light bulb on and give you an idea, some wisdom on what to do. He just needs you to turn to him. The most important times to turn to God are in your times of greatest despair. And if you'll do that, he will always give you the right decision to make to see you through. If you choose to decide to do it on your own, you will stay in that condition until you finally will turn to God and do it his way. And then you have all the results of all the bad decisions you made in the meantime. Did y'all get anything out of this tonight? Father, we thank you, Lord God. You're seeing us through to victory. You have made us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And you said you always cause us to triumph. We choose right now to triumph through you. And we know you are the God that divides the Red Sea. You're the God that brings forth manna from heaven, flies in the quail. You're the God that makes a way where there is no way. You were able to bring forth a Savior through a virgin. And we know, Lord God, in the situations that we're in that look impossible in the natural, we know you're a God that's going to deliver us through these storms. I thank you for peace in this place, joy of the Holy Ghost manifesting. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss it this time, but if you're here and you need special prayer for anything,